Allmänhetens demonstrationer mot Roosevelts krigspolitik oroade honom. De tycktes tyda på att Amerika fortfarande var en splittrad nation. Woodrow Wilsons öde efter att ha lett Amerika in i första världskriget skrämde honom fortfarande, och hans motståndare spelade på allmänhetens minnen av förlusterna i det kriget. Förluster som nu tycktes vara ett onödigt offer. Men Roosevelts återval 1940 gjorde det möjligt för honom att mer öppet bistå Storbritannien. Han behövde inte lika ofta tillgripa svepskäl, och den allt allvarligare situationen gjorde att allt blev mer brådskande. Han la fram ett djärvt förslag, den så kallade Lend-Lease-lagen, som syftade till att öka strömmen av materiel till Storbritannien. Han hävdade att Amerika tack vare den skulle slippa att själv gå med i kriget. Låta Storbritannien göra jobbet, som Churchill hade sagt. En av lagförslagets motståndare var Joseph Kennedy, den förre Londonambassadören och far till en rad med tiden framgångsrika söner. Hans fientliga inställning mot Storbritannien var välkänd.
The Lease-Lend Bill seeks to confer upon the president authority unheard of in our history. I am unable to agree with the proponents of this bill that it has yet been shown that we face such immediate danger as to justify the surrender of the authority and responsibility of the Congress. After there has been a debate, and a bill, whatever it may be, becomes part of our law, I think the duty of every American citizen is plain.
The Lend-Lease Act, I regard it as almost a declaration of war. I regard it perhaps more so than Roosevelt seemed to regard it himself.
Storbritannien skulle inte behöva betala den krigsmateriel det lånade av Amerika förrän efter kriget, vilket innebar att Amerikas ekonomiska resurser satsades på att besegra axelmakterna. Enligt lagförslaget skulle också Amerikas egen krigsproduktion stimuleras om så skulle behövas. Med ett så övertygande stöd från folket kunde Roosevelt gå vidare med att försöka förmå den amerikanska allmänheten att aktivt delta i konflikten.
After the Lend-Lease was passed, they started manufacturing material. Then they had to deliver it. The ability to carry it away was decreasing greatly because of the U-boat activities in the Atlantic. So how to get it to its destination became quite a problem, quite a question. Manipulated around to get an excuse for delivering it that would be in terms of the defense of the United States.
Wilsons utnyttjande av presidentmakten till att förhandla fram avtal med Danmark och Island hade stöd i Monroe-doktrinen, hävdade han själv. Ingen hade något att invända mot det. Churchill välkomnade de amerikanska styrkornas närvaro på Island som en del av västmakternas strategiska försvar. Detta aktualiserade den personliga vänskap han och Roosevelt slutit vid ett berömt möte mitt ute på Atlanten. Både Roosevelt och Churchill tyckte om att vara ute till havs på stora fartyg. Tidigare under sina banor hade de bägge tjänat sina länders flottor. Resultatet av Atlantmötet hade blivit en deklaration om friheten i världen. Churchill lyckades aldrig helt förstå Amerikas politiska system, men efter mötet med Roosevelt var han imponerad av presidentens beslutsamhet att verka för deras gemensamma syfte. Och en del av Churchills kampanda hade smittat av sig på Amerikas överbefälhavare.
Now on your first cruise, you met the Bismarck. And on your second, you met the illustrious president of the United States, who is one of the men who will take the greatest part in shaping the immediate future of our civilization.
The Axis powers can never achieve their objective of world domination unless they first obtain control of the seas. That is their supreme purpose today, and to achieve it, they must capture Great Britain. We shall give every possible assistance to Britain and to all who with Britain are resisting Hitlerism or its equivalent with force of arms. Our patrols are helping now to ensure delivery of the needed supplies to Britain. All additional measures necessary to deliver the goods will be taken. Therefore, with profound consciousness of my responsibilities to my countrymen and to my country's cause, I have tonight issued a proclamation that an unlimited national emergency exists and requires the strengthening of our defense to the extreme limit of our national power and authority. The nation will expect all individuals and all groups to play their full part without stint, without selfishness, and without doubt that our democracy will triumphantly survive.
Men snart skulle hela USA i uppriktig vrede ställa upp bakom sin överbefälhavare. Den 7 december 1941. Utan krigsförklaring eller någon annan varning anföll Japan den amerikanska flottbasen i Pearl Harbor på Hawaii.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese.
Fyra dagar senare, den 11 december 1941, förklarade Tyskland och Italien krig mot USA. Nu var det inte längre fråga om att Roosevelt skulle behöva leda ett splittrat land in i en europeisk konflikt. Ett världskrig påtvingades det amerikanska folket av demokratins alla fiender. Och hela kraften hos världens starkaste nation ställdes omedelbart till dess överbefälhavares förfogande.
He was now a war chief. He really enjoyed his role as commander in chief of the Army and Navy. But he did not meddle in the conduct of the war. He left to officers whom he personally selected and in whom he had a great deal of faith, although he went to all the big meetings. And he liked to sit there and read the maps and so on, but he might make a suggestion, but I'm sure he told him to pay no attention to what he's saying. At least it indicated he was not going to insist on these things, and they knew he wouldn't.
Nu var Amerika och Storbritannien allierade. Personliga möten mellan de båda krigsledarna, Roosevelt och Churchill, la grunden till försvarsgrenschefernas gemensamma planering. Också Sovjetunionen var nu Amerikas bundsförvant. Stalins närvaro vid Teheranmötet 1943 gjorde det till de tre storas möte. Roosevelt älskade dessa toppmöten. Men Stalin och Churchill visste att det åtminstone i Europa också fanns politiska mål att kämpa för, förutom den militära segern. Roosevelt utövade en oomtvistad auktoritet som överbefälhavare. Medan de amerikanska styrkorna kämpade sig fram på sin långa och svåra väg tillbaka över Stilla havet till Filippinerna, överlät kongressen gärna Amerikas militära och diplomatiska politik åt presidenten. Några amerikaner ansåg att kriget mot Japan borde ha företräde framför kriget i Europa, men det förekom ingen allvarlig opposition mot Roosevelts sätt att sköta de stora besluten inom alliansen. Han och Churchill hade från början enats om att Tyskland måste besegras först. Japan skulle inte klara sig länge på egen hand. ...1944 återvaldes Roosevelt för en fjärde period. Han stimulerades av att få återgå till den aktiva politiken, men hans hälsa vacklade. När han rapporterade till kongressen efter Jalta-konferensen våren 1945 var han en dödsmärkt man.
I hope in our history, and therefore in the history of the world, there will soon be presented to the Senate and the American people a great decision that will determine the fate of the United States, and I think therefore the fate of the world, for generations to come. There can be no middle ground here. We shall have to take the responsibility for world collaboration, or we shall have to bear the responsibility for another world conflict. And I am confident that the Congress and the American people will accept the results of this conference as the beginnings of a permanent structure of peace, upon which we can begin to build, under God, that better world in which our children and grandchildren, yours and mine, the children and grandchildren of the whole world, must live and can live.
Roosevelt dog den 12 april 1945. Nationen var lamslagen. Han hade varit deras president i över 12 år.
Under the protection of the federal government, he brought in the human being. That was one of the great things he did. He had a great feeling for the human being. Where he got it, I don't know. He did not come up the hard way. He could be patronizing. I thought a lot of times he was, having in mind, of course, his own beginnings. But you've got to take a man, I suppose, on his record. And on his record, he was a champion of the poor. Well, Roosevelt, I think, was the greatest user of power, the greatest president, too, in our modern time. He made a game of acquiring power. He made a skillful job, did a skillful job of using it. He used it, I think, for very noble purposes, although his methods were not always as noble.
Denna dag talar Franklin D. Roosevelt till världen. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom.
Redan på tisdag i nästa vecka ska han träffa Mats Hellström i Köpenhamn och hoppas då möta en förstående svensk jordbruksminister.
Jan Pettersson var reporter. De svenska fiskarna är till skillnad från sina danska kollegor belåtna med uppgörelsen. De tror inte att det ska bli några svårigheter att komma överens om fisket i Östersjön.
Några fragment ur Roosevelt-tal under 1930-talets slut. De är tagna från TV och är mycket korta. Det finns också några kommentarer med.
This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly speaking.
I motsats till den förre presidenten hade Roosevelt idéer. USA kräver, sa han, djärva experiment i en krissituation som kan jämföras med krig.
So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Hans budskap blir känt som karantänstalet.
War is a contagion, whether it be declared or undeclared. It can engulf states and peoples remote from the original scene of hostilities. And mark this well. When an epidemic of physical disease starts to spread, the community approves and joins in a quarantine of the patient. America hopes for peace. Therefore, America actively engages in the search for peace.
One thing about the country was that it was isolated.
Vid krigsutbrottet i september 1939 var allmänhetens stöd för absolut neutralitet i avtagande. Samma dag som Storbritannien och Frankrike förklarade Tyskland krig talade Roosevelt till, som han sa, hela Amerika.
This nation will remain a neutral nation, but I cannot ask that every American remain neutral in thought as well. Even a neutral has a right to take account of facts. Even a neutral cannot be asked to close his mind or to close his conscience.
Well, of course, his sympathies from the beginning were clearly with Britain and France and the Allies. And then, of course, when the war started.
In New York, Charles A. Lindbergh, who has since submitted his resignation as colonel in the Army Air Corps, speaks to a rally of the America First Committee.
France has now been defeated, and despite the propaganda and confusion of recent months, it is now obvious that England is losing war. I believe and I have been forced to the conclusion that we cannot win this war for England regardless of how much assistance we send. That is why the America First Committee has been formed.
It was a short-sightedness, selfishness, if I may say so, failure to observe what was really involved, how our interests would be endangered. We couldn't afford to let Hitler win the war. With Europe behind him, with Europe at his back, he could fight us all over the world for a generation.
He pondered this question at some length and finally came up with this very ingenious solution. He said to newsmen when he returned, let's forget the silly old dollar sign. When a neighbor has a fire, and you have a garden hose that will help him put it out, obviously it's in your interest to let that person borrow your hose. Let's think about this problem that way. America has the goods. America needs the protection and security that a British fighting Britain can provide. And we lend Britain the goods, and they fight the battle in our behalf as well.
Resultatet, den så kallade lån- och utgivningslagen, utlöste en sista storstrid mellan interventionister och isolationister.
Roosevelt under D-dagen den 6 juni 1944. Det är taget från TV med mikrofon, därav det dåliga ljudet. Upptagningen är gjord i början på 60-talet.
Hitlers enorma och fatala missgrepp hindrar tyskarna från att sätta in ett kanske avgörande motangrepp och ger de allierade andrum att landsätta mer trupper och material på Normandies stränder. Denna dag talar Franklin D. Roosevelt till världen.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom.